Hello, America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you are listening to a Back to the Regular Let's Weekend. Yes, I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, in which, of course, being that the last 2 weeks, that is a total fucking lie, Philippe Modinolfo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Saloji. Say hi, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, everybody.
We're back.
Yep, we are finally back. Phil finally got his shit together. So Phil, tell us what the problem was.
So I did a PC rebuild, turns out I had a bad power supply in there as well. So that was kind of melting itself and being really flaky as far as USB connectivity goes. It had a problem with the 5-volt rail, and guess what connected to that? USBs, yep. And the audio codec, both things that you have to use when podcasting. So, yeah.
That explains things.
Yeah, so you'd get like a dip in the 5 volts, and then the computer would just go, I don't know what to do, goodbye. Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I got a new power supply, put that in, and everything seems to be good. The only thing I've got to resolve now is I have a slightly grindy fan on my video card, so yeah, I need to fix that. But beyond that, everything seems to be good, so we're back to normal, and now normal.
Awesome. So, all right, so as usual, some shit went down, you know, like I said last time, you remember we were all waiting for that point when, you know, Trump and everything would finally just go over the tip. Like it was like when the edge of the cliff would finally hit, and it pretty much hit a few weeks ago. So right now everybody's just sort of sitting back and enjoying the chaos. But unfortunately, we also did have some celebrity deaths we have to mention, including the Queen of Soul herself. We'll be getting to her. We've also found out that, look, the Trump administration lies.
Oh,
the shocker.
Okay. Impossible.
Uh-huh. And also, it turns out that little Adolf Eichmann lookalike Stephen Miller, apparently his whole fucking family hates him.
I wonder why.
Yeah, we're going to get to that, too. Hmm. We also got some news from the primaries that happened over the week. Because, yeah, there's still primaries and shit. And we don't have this written down, but we'll just go ahead and tell you. As of early this round, I think it was like Wednesday night, 23 Justice Democrats have been elected to their primaries. So...
yeah, it's not looking good for Team Red.
No, apparently it's basically been said that all of the seats that are up, that 75% of them are a toss-up or worse. So, yeah, but I will say again, we'll repeat until November, and probably we'll repeat more than once in this very podcast, don't let any of this make you, you know, don't be fooled into apathy, okay? We talk about all this, but all of this shit only happens if you actually go out and vote.
Yep.
So, you know, don't let yourself, you know, don't rest on your laurels and don't convince yourself that, well, they'll still win with just one less vote. No, don't do
that.
Go away. That's what happened. That's what happened in 2016.
Yeah.
Okay. But we've also got that. Of course, we got some entertainment news, including the ongoing shit between Disney and James Gunn. Also, HBO has gotten another major property for another major series they're going to start putting out next year. Apparently the Red Death is slowly swallowing the state of Florida.
Oh, yep. Lovely.
Yeah. We'll be talking about all that and more on this episode of Let's Weekend. So, now that we can actually get this shit back on track, Phil, other than the PC bill, what were you up to this week?
So it's been kind of some light gaming, mostly. I did finish Shining Force 2 last week, and then I kind of started over, but I don't think I'm going to go through that whole thing again. I'll just move on to Shining Force CD there and just keep going on the series. Yeah, maybe in a couple of years or so, I'll do it. I'll try to do a max run of Shining Force 2, but for now, meh. Yeah. So there's that. I also got myself a SNES Classic after literally 3 weeks stuck in customs.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. It's like, fuck customs.
Well, it's because they all wanted to play it.
Yeah, but it wasn't opened, so nobody played it.
It just sat there.
So, well, anyway, I got that and immediately hacked it, as you do.
Yeah,
hacking it is actually fairly straightforward. Tweaking it, once you actually get it hacked, is a little bit of a process. Because, the built-in emulator is good, but it's not, like, 100%. It won't run everything. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I had some fiddling to do to get stuff like Terra Enigma to work. So, I got that. And then I figured out that you can completely cheat and just replace the entire emulator structure on the box entirely. So, I may end up doing that. but, yeah, that would definitely make things easier and open up games that normally wouldn't have worked. So I'll probably end up giving that a go, and maybe also some other systems while I'm in there. So yeah, I could have my SNES Classic running Genesis games, because that'll piss somebody off. So yeah, but of course the first game I put in was Top Gear, because that game is just a lot of fun, and I found out there's some graphics issues there, which I had to get a patch to fix, and that sent me down that entire rabbit hole. So it's fun. I look forward to actually getting it dialed in. I'll probably end up doing the USB route so I can have more stuff on there instead of the 200 meg that the thing comes with. So it's a good little system. I kind of like it, but I even like some of the small details that they put in. For instance, like the HDMI cable, the connector is actually shaped like the AV connector of a Super Nintendo. So I don't know if anybody even noticed that, but it's true. Yeah, it does. So that's, been pretty much my week. How about you, Pat?
I now have Netflix, thanks to Danrib. And, I wanted to maybe get into a position to discuss movies and TV shows on here to a greater extent than I've been able to, and now I have no idea what to do with myself or where to begin.
Castlevania. It's a good short it's a good short little trip. You can finish it in one night.
Cool.
Yep.
Yeah.
I will check that out over the weekend, and I've just been...
Don't forget Agretzko.
Oh, yeah.
I've just been taking recommendations, and so once we're done with the show and I get some much needed sleep, I'm probably just going to start binging things. Yeah. We'll see how that treats me.
Don't forget Devil Man Cry Baby. That is a fucking modern classic.
Yeah. Oh, there's just so much good stuff on Netflix. That's the
Voltron.
Problem. Yeah. Voltron.
Oh, if you want to watch something that's going to make you go, what the actual fuck? Look up Toast of London.
Hmm. Okay.
Watch 3 episodes before you talk to me about it. Okay. You gotta watch 3.
Okay.
What kind of what the fuckery? Just
British what the fuck.
Okay.
Okay. So I actually might give that a look myself.
Yeah. We can't get enough of that shit.
Yeah.
So. All right, Teresa.
Oh, what have I been doing? I've only been doing one thing and one thing. Well, obviously, besides watching TV. As far as TV goes, we've been working on Voltron still. We're getting through there. I think we're in season 3 now. And I've been playing Octopath, a lot. not a lot. Not as much as I wanted to, because I got it the first weekend it was out, but shit happened. Do I sound salty? Maybe.
Yeah, kinda.
A little bit. But last night I was I started up after work and I played until 9:15, and I was like, okay, so we gotta go to bed now. And then I got a few hours in today too before we podcasted, so that was great. But I'm in chapter 3 for Tressa and chapter 2 for What the hell's his name again? Ulbrich.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Therion is only like level 18 for me. I got to level him up a little bit more, but I want to do his next.
Cool.
So, yeah, it's I was getting a little frustrated because I was kind of level grinding in the same places and I was getting sick of the mobs. So I decided to run around a little bit more. But I'm pretty sure I have all eight people. I know I have all eight people. And no, I haven't looked.
Because you can count them.
Yeah. Yeah.
As far as like the grinding goes, your best, like one of the little sort of cheats that they put in the game that they let you do is they have the cats.
Yes.
Have you encountered any of those yet?
One today, and I had encountered one before, but I was running around with my second stream guys. Mm-hmm. And there was no way. I like laid one little hit on him and then he disappeared.
Yeah.
But there was something else, and it was a cat. It just wasn't the fat cat. Today I saw the fat cat, which was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I liked it. But the other one I saw was a cat with a sack. So I think it was a cat burglar, or maybe it was, maybe a new Zorak and,
yeah. So what happens is depending on which type of cat it is you encounter, that you kill, if you beat them, like the standard ones you first start seeing are the brown ones. They will actually like give you, if you manage to kill them, they will give you a shit ton of experience. Like,
really fast. That first one that I did manage to kill. I think I leveled up, each one of them leveled up four fucking levels. It was like one of the slimes from Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but there's also one with a gold sack that'll give you like a bunch of money. And there's another one, I think, that'll give you a bunch of, skill points. So you can update your skills and stuff.
Yeah, I would like to do that. Cause I definitely want to, increase the skills for not just my first string guys.
Okay. Have you also been checking out to find the shrines?
What?
Okay, so they don't really tell you about this in the game, but it's kind of an implicit. It's something. Okay, so basically all over the game there are these eight shrines, and each one of the shrines are dedicated to a particular job.
I went into one and I got some sort of skill up or something like that.
Well, basically, it's all the... So, like, you know how all the characters have, like, their job or their class,
right?
You know?
Like, that's because I can switch jobs for that one.
Yeah, if you get all of the shrines, you'll get all eight of the jobs, and you can switch them around pretty much at will for all the characters. So, they have both, like, their original, like, their class stuff that they start out with, and then you also have the job stuff that gives them most of the abilities of that job that you assign to them. So you get both set of skills.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go looking for them. I keep running into grottos, which are great for grinding.
Yeah. Fortunately, they're typically not that difficult to find. Basically, just when you enter an area, look at the little map at the bottom, and if you see like a... I guess it's like a little curve thing with like three or four columns at the top of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the shrine is. Okay. You'll know it when you see it.
Yeah.
But,
I have to check that out. That's me in a nutshell.
It actually, trust me, it makes the game significantly easier. but all right, Chris, what about you?
So I've been messing around with my dual monitor stuff a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I was trying to get a game called Unepic to work.
Mm-hmm.
It is a game that's on, I think, all the consoles, even on Wii U. But it's one of those games that, despite having like the console versions working with controllers, they didn't really do a great job of updating the PC version for that.
Because
I think that came out first. So I was trying to get it to work with my the DualShock 4 I use for playing on PC. Just trying it with the Steam stuff. It lets it sort of remap it with community things, and none of them really worked well at all.
Mm.
Like the whole thing where I had to use up on the left stick to jump, which did not feel good at all. And it seemed like it was partially broken. Though I was using the big picture mode to tell me, oh, there's no controller support for this. And you go to the game's menus, and it's like, click this for controller support. It's like, but couldn't remap any of the buttons. And it has like a calibration thing, so you can see like, you know, press what you want to be up, and it wouldn't register anything. So it seems partially broken for controllers, or something was just messing with it. But I gave up on that idea of trying to mess around with some of the games I still have on there. But I played some Skyrim a while back, which just involved me. I was still in the second village you're in, Whiterun, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Just me raiding the castle of all its items that you could freely pick up without stealing, and trying to sell as much of it as I could. I have a barrel in town that's full of books. Because it's my book barrel.
Yep.
Because I needed some place to store it, and I'm still just screwing around that game. Also, I got some mods in that from the Steam Workshop. This is the original version of Skyrim, not the special edition. It has all the Bethesda mods in it. So I had one that changes how the inventory works, which took me a bit to get used to, especially for just trying to sell junk, selling all the bowls and plates and shit that I don't want, but I stole anyway. But yeah, that was nice to jump into. I want to put some more time into that now that I have a good setup where I could play Skyrim on one screen and have Netflix going on the other. But yeah, I've been watching a good bit of Netflix lately. I started watching Disenchantment today, which is the new Matt Groening show.
Yep.
And it's quite a bit different than what you may expect.
I've been told that.
Yeah, it's not a comedy. Not explicitly. It's very much kind of more of a like an action adventure show.
Yeah.
Where it features Bean, the princess of this of Dreamland. Her father is kind of like a, I think he's supposed to be like a Scottish Scottish guy who is played by Bender's voice actor.
Bill West?
No. The guy who did the lead character on Gears of War.
Oh. Okay.
I forget what his name is. But yeah, there's all sorts of weird accents, because he just speaks like a normal American accent, but her father is Scottish. Her like maid is speaks with like a very heavy British accent. Calls her mom, ma'am, but does it British, and various other people. But and then there's Elfo, who comes from the Elfland, who is sort of the first one that gets out of Elfland, who decides to leave. Except they make a joke, except for Levo,
because
all of them have just like, you know, some sort of noun with O at the end. It's like, we don't speak of Levo. But yeah, he gets out and he kind of knows nothing but like happy, because they sing all the time, make candy and all that.
Oh, yeah.
And so he gets out, and his first encounter is with a war between the dwarfs, like gnomes, actually gnomes. Gnomes versus like trolls. And he's like, war? I think I like war. He doesn't know what war is. But he's like, oh, new people. I get to meet new people. And they all kill each other. except for him. He just happens to survive. Which is pretty good. But he ends up wandering around, gets to Dreamland. As she's about to get married off to a prince of another land, is there trying to have like an alliance sort of thing, sort of marry the two families together, all that sort of stuff. The prince ends up dying by falling on the sword. They have like their own throne made of swords, except like the swords are sticking out. So he drops, she says no when asked if she wants to marry him, and knocks the ring out of his hand, and it falls by the throne. So he goes to lean down and pick it up, and it scares his head on the sword. They're like, oh, he's dead. And he's like, no, I think I'm still alive. Someone can lift me up. They just throw a cloth on his head. Like, nope, he's dead. And bring in the brother. There's lots of weird shit that happens. But then there's also the demon, Lucy, who is given by some mysterious gift, part of the wedding gifts, that ends up becoming her demon.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's some sort of mysterious ulterior motive for the demon. Some group wanting to undermine Dreamland, sort of thing that they introduce. But yeah, it's a pretty cool show. It's quite a bit different than what you might expect coming out of, you know, The Simpsons and even Futurama.
I mean, I've heard that he's been wanting to do something like this for a long time. So yeah,
it's definitely more of like a. It still has jokes, but it's a little bit more.
It doesn't seem quite as, say, episodic.
It's kind of serial, but less sort of resetting everything every time.
Mm-hmm.
Which is pretty cool. So the first 10 episodes are out, and the episodes are about like 40 minutes each.
Mm-hmm.
So a bit longer than the way The Simpsons and Futurama are working. So it is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And I've been following up my run of The Office with Parks and Rec.
Yeah, that's the
next thing to go for.
Pretty much, yeah, that's a classic.
Yeah, like, I'm in the second season, heading towards the end of it, and it's really good.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty much at the point where April becomes Ron's secretary or assistant.
Mm.
And basically she's been denying everybody who wants meetings with him.
Yeah.
There's a whole joke where she assigns them a meeting time on March 31st because she thinks she does the rhyme thing and thinks March just has 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
And the 31st is not a real day. So then he ends up having like 90 meetings on the same day, which is pretty good. And that show's real good. And I'm glad it's not like The Office where it's like 20-some episodes every season. And mm-hmm. 9 seasons, I think it's 6 seasons.
Mm.
And some are a bit under 20, so it'll be nice, quick way to get through. But yeah, that's been pretty good. And also been watching a good bit of Eliza Schlesinger's comedy shows that are on there.
Mm-hmm.
She's one of the, if you go on the Netflix main page, at least for me, she's highlighted as one of the big Netflix original stuff.
Yeah.
And her new special is called Elder Millennial.
Mm-hmm.
She talks about how she is 35.
Mm-hmm.
So she is on the higher end of who you can consider a millennial.
She's sort of in our camp, basically.
Yeah. So that whole show is just about her getting married, mm-hmm. or on the way to getting married later this year. So she's talking about, you know, relationships, men versus women, how women handle relationships and all that,
mm-hmm.
especially like going to, you know, the bar or whatever for potential hookups and all that. And it's a good show. And I ended up watching, she has two others that are on there and which are obviously older. And so it's kind of like going backwards.
Mm.
Like, oh, here she's, you know, engaged. And here's one where she just has a boyfriend. Here's one she doesn't. She's not in any relationship yet. And they're all good. Definitely some good stuff. So if you're looking for some new, maybe female comedian stuff on Netflix, she's a good one to check out.
Yeah. She kind of seems like what Robert Klein was when HBO was starting out. Just kind of fucking everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, because I kept seeing it on there. And I was like, what the hell is this?
Mm.
But then you also just find out there's like two or three more. Like after I watched John Mulaney's thing on Netflix, I looked up and there's like one more, maybe two more.
Mm-hmm.
There's some just great stuff there.
John Mulaney's great. We watched that. I think he had three or something of them on there. Yeah. We watched all of them.
Yeah, I like the one that's. It starts with like a sitcom intro called New in Town,
mm-hmm.
Which has a bit where he just like sprays mustard all over himself. Like he can't handle putting mustard on a hot dog.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty good. Where he's talking about, let me see, he's talking about having the, assemblies, and then you have the assembly where they talk shit about how the kids behaved in the previous assembly.
Yes.
Just yelling at them. And that's some good stuff. There's the one where he has a joke where he's like, I probably should be gay. But I think when they were putting me together, they forgot to flip the gay switch. So he's just a straight guy that's just really effeminate and weird. Talking about calling up a Blockbuster, and the guy kept calling him a girl. Also talked about how the kids in school were convinced he was an Asian girl. So he has jokes about being a proud Asian American woman. yeah, he's real good as well. As for games, I've been playing more Chasm.
Mm-hmm.
I got a real good Claymore in that. And sort of like the whip, it has a real good arc to it. It's kind of an overhead strike. And it has 15 more points of damage than my whip. So it is a real powerful thing. The only problem is it's a little bit of a slower attack. But yeah, I can get I can get a lot of enemies killed pretty quick with that. Especially, they have like Metroids that are just sort of walking around the four sides of these blocks. And it's pretty good for that. And yeah, I'm kind of in the gardens area, kind of just going around as I try to eventually get to wherever it's going. It's had me sort of turn on these specific things, start filling up these water pools. That helps me get around there. But yeah, that's still kind of grinding away at that. And they just put out a big update with some tweaks on item drops and some other stuff like that that I'm hoping is a good thing, making that a little bit better. But also been playing Guacamelee with the sequel coming out next week. I wanted to go back to the original, though. I'm playing the newer Super Turbo Championship Edition, which is really fun. It has a new area in it, so I have gotten through that. And on my way, I got the chicken upgrade, so instead of turning into like a morph ball, you turn into a chicken, which can also attack, and it's real fun and silly stuff. And the combat is some of the best in that genre. It's very much kind of a good brawler, where you can sort of also has some wrestling moves to it. As you weaken enemies enough, you can sort of just slam them or throw them around into other enemies. Real good way of chaining together combos and attacks to take out multiple enemies. And that game is a lot of good. I'm looking forward to the sequel next week. Also been playing some more MLB The Show 18, the Diamond Dynasty stuff. They've been giving away some free packs on there for the past couple days. So I've been jumping in, and I still really wish they did a better job with the missions, showing them at least, because you kind of have to just go look at every single program in there and sort of see what all the missions are, like one by one, and it's really tedious. Kind of wish they just had a list of like, here's all the things you're working on. So you can just keep track of that instead of looking through kind of like maybe 100 of these different programs worth of missions. It's kind of tedious trying to figure out, oh, have I completed anything recently, or what am I getting close to that I should focus on for the next couple games I'm playing, all that sort of stuff. But otherwise, it's that game's still really fun, and excited to put some more time into that. And I think that's about it. How about you, Brandon?
All right. Well, so, yeah, like everyone else, I'm currently playing Octopath Traveler. I have finished a bunch of the Chapter 3s. I still have Tressa's and the Apothecaries, Alvin, and Therian's, and I think Hannet's to finish. And Hannet's especially is giving me some serious grief because of that fucking dragon. He basically is, not only is he like really strong, so when he starts out fighting him, you know, like all the other enemies you fight, he has like a bunch of weaknesses, but because of how tough his scales are, only two of them actually work at first. It also doesn't help that he has that freaking... He has these two particular attacks that I freaking hate. The first one is called Swept Away, which is a big tornado that just basically takes a character out of the equation for a couple turns. And it sucks, especially when that particular character has something you really need to help get rid of that stupid, you know, break down their weaknesses. And the other one is Dragonfire, which is basically, it's just a bunch of freaking just god awful. It's a big, strong attack, and it basically takes out, like, 1,000-plus damage from everyone.
Oh, my God.
Ow.
Yeah. It sucks. Ow. So I'm doing that. And I am sort of taking tentative steps into some of the Chapter 4s that I've got available and absolutely fucking failing at them because I get slaughtered almost instantly. But it's some genuinely good stuff. The plot really starts to thicken around the ends of Chapter 3. Now, I have been told, and I'm not entirely sure about this, but I've been told that in order for, like, the final sort of part of the story that wraps up all of the main stories for everyone, on top of, like, completing all the chapters for the characters, there's also, like, these two sub-quest lines that you have to go through. I'm not sure what they are, but I gotta go look them up. But I also gotta say, this game still continues to absolutely blow me away with some of the sprite graphics they have, especially for the boss characters. God, because some of them are just amazing.
Yeah, I agree.
It's very... I mean, people point out, yeah, it's very Final Fantasy-ish how they do it. I've had some people hint at me what the final boss of the game is supposed to be, and apparently it is, like, the most impressive sprite thing they've got in the whole game. Huh. Legitimately would blow you away. So... kind of excited for that. So other than that, I decided to take a dip into a little MMORPG called Blade and Soul. Now, who here is familiar with Blade and Soul?
I've heard of it. That's about it.
Yeah, it's basically... Okay, so they actually did like a 10-episode anime version tie-in of it, I think, last year. I guess it's either from South Korea or from Taiwan, but it's basically a wuxia-style fantasy RPG that's based around, you know, kicking ass and taking names. And it is, as far from what I've heard, it is one of the most... It's pretty much the most popular... it might be one of the most, if not the most popular MMORPG in Korea. Because I've run into a lot of Koreans. but basically it's you, growing up, you know, you're like the student of a martial arts master growing up in his school, and then shit happens, the master gets killed, you gotta go out into the world, and, yeah, that's pretty much it. I mean, there's plot and stuff, but I haven't gotten that far yet. There's a lot of ass kicking, I'll tell you that much.
Combat good, at least?
Oh, yeah, it's good. Good combat. And it's very, you know, it's wuxia, so it's very, you know, martial arts based.
Yeah.
So it's a bit more, you know, intuitive. It's a bit more elaborate than just, you know, hit something with a sword until it dies.
Yeah.
But speaking of wuxia, I've been reading books. Like I said, I mentioned a couple of shows earlier. I got the first copy of Jin Yong's Condor Trilogy, and I've been reading that. Good stuff. You can definitely tell, though, that it is a English translation of something that was originally in Chinese, because some of it, you know, like the translation job is top notch, but there are certain things in the in Mandarin that can't really translate as well over into English, because, you know, there's certain, you know, the way the, you know how, like, Mandarin is one of those languages that's really heavy on things like puns and inflections and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so some of it doesn't quite translate as well. But it's still pretty good. And I'm also still reading online, because unfortunately there isn't an official English translation of this book, called Kung Fu by Giddens Co., also known as Judah Bao or Nine Knives, who is the most popular living author in Taiwan right now. Not only because he's like super duper prolific and he writes in like just about every genre you can think of. He's published like 60 books. He's also, because I think this is actually becoming true for a lot of writers in Japan, too. His work, a good chunk of his work is published for free online. You know, he's one of those net writers. You know, if you're familiar with stuff like, you know, Overlord or, you know, stuff like that, that stuff was originally published online, where most of Giddens Co's stuff was originally published online. Also, probably one of the reasons he's also super popular is that he's also a writer who became a film director. He's actually directed three movies, and all of them based on his own work. And the first movie he directed was like a massive critical and commercial success. But anyway, his book Kung Fu is sort of like, it's sort of like the Watchmen of Wuxia, in that it takes like all of the tropes that is associated with that particular literary genre and then applies it to the modern world and shows just how it would just be complete chaos. So it's good shit. And finally, yes, I am still doing my education. I'm going to be taking a unit test pretty soon. And the stuff I've been working on mostly this week is, because like I've said before, I'm studying to be in medical billing and coding, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the subject I was working on this week were the claim forms, as in health insurance claim forms.
Yep.
And holy shit, that was just an alphabet soup of migraine-inducing bullshit. Because like there's a very specific way that all of these claim forms are printed. You know, none of them can use punctuation. It's all in capitals. And there's like whole sections of it that are purposely meant to be left blank. In fact, the lesson even says, this section so-and-so is to be left blank. It may be used for something in the future. And I'm thinking, well, then why the fuck is it in there in the first place?
Yeah.
American.
Partially a test.
Yeah. Bureaucracy.
American.
Can you read? No health insurance if you can't read.
Yeah. The thing I did today was stuff about internal and external auditing. That they do at hospitals sometimes. That's pretty much what I've been up to this week. So has anybody got anything to add before we move on?
No, I'm good.
All right.
I'm good.
Well, then, I'm going to turn off to go off to our next big section, everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And, you know, originally this week, and I had planned this since Monday, I was going to be talking about a certain health problem, a certain plague that was affecting the southern U.S., the southeast, specifically where I live, from around 1902 to around well into World War II, something that was called the spring sickness. I'll talk into it later. But then I went and got my hair cut the other day, and as I was sort of fishing around into the giant pile of old used magazines in there, guess what I found inside of that giant pile of magazines?
Wow.
A fresh, new, never-read copy of the Book of Mormon.
Oh, boy.
Oh, dear.
So guess what we're going to be talking about this week?
Oh, my.
Oh, oh my, yes, indeed.
We're going to be talking about holy underpants.
Well, no, actually. Because believe it or not, all the stuff about, like, polygamy and, you know, Jesus was an alien born on Kolob or whatever that shit is, you won't find any of that stuff in the Book of Mormon. All that stuff comes about in the other two books that Joseph Smith wrote. And, of course, Pat would know because he's originally from Salt Lake City, Utah.
Well, I'm originally from Logan and still there, but it's very Mormon-y. And, yes, I was born into the church and have a very strong understanding of what you're about to be going into.
So. Okay, so I think before we start, I think everybody kind of knows the basic story, as Joseph Smith told it, of how he came about the Book of Mormon, right?
Vaguely, yeah.
But I'll just quickly tell you. According to Joseph Smith, he was praying one night when a ball of light showed up in his bedroom, and in it appeared an angel named Moroni. And Moroni told him that there's a new gospel of Jesus that you got to go out. It's near your house. It's on a hill. And under that, you're going to find a bunch of gold plates in this box that we have buried. Also in this box, you will find a couple of seer stones, the Urim and Thummim, which, for those of you who don't know, that's actually something from the Old Testament. It was one of the things that the high priests in ancient Israel would have on their breastplate. He would also have some other objects. I think there was like a sword in there. There was also like a breastplate that these seer stones were attached to that he used to make them into like a set of spectacles. And so he then called a guy, I think his name, I can't remember what his name was. He calls this guy in to help him translate it. And the way they tell this story, it kind of changes depending on who's telling it. It's supposedly either he drops the plates and the seer stones into a hat and then put his head in there and read it out of a hat, or he translated it on his own using the spectacles. It kind of depends on who's talking, who's telling the story. But supposedly that's what the book, how we got the Book of Mormon. And yes, it's a load of bullshit, as I'm about to tell you. Yeah. But, so first thing you need to know, Joseph Smith was a notorious con artist. Like, it's really well known now that he basically made his trade as a treasure hunter and a fortune teller with a bunch of like dousing scams and shit.
Oh, wow.
His rap sheet is out there.
Yeah, it's out there. Because the Mormon religion is so recent, there's like a giant paper trail that he left behind. So, you kind of have to go through some serious logical hoops, is what I'm saying. But anyway, so what is the Book of Mormon specifically, and what is it about? Well, first of all, don't actually try to read this fucking thing yourself, because it is basically Quaaludes in book form. it's literally a very bad imitation of the King's English.
If you read the Bible as literature, this is fan fiction.
Yep, pretty much. It's biblical fan fiction. And not very well written either.
As most fan fiction is.
Yeah, and he even lifts like wholesale passages from the King James Bible, translation errors included.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. Also, you could pretty much flip to any part of the Book of Mormon, and you will see the phrase, "and so it came to pass," at least 5 or 6 times on any given page. Like, so much so that it's like a running joke in Mormon circles.
In literary terms, we call that hand-waving.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, what is the basic story of the Book of Mormon? Well, the basic story of the Book of Mormon is that a group of Jews, one of the original 12 tribes of Israel, got on a boat off the coast of Saudi Arabia, And they eventually rowed that boat over to the Americas. And they got into the Americas, and eventually they divided themselves into two tribes, the Lamanites and the Nephites. The Nephites stayed faithful to God. The Lamanites did not stay faithful to God. And so God blessed the Nephites and gave them many riches, whereas he cursed the Lamanites and gave them darkish red skin. Guess who's supposed to be the ancestors of today's American Indians?
Oh, wow.
And so eventually the two eventually get into a fight. There's like a bunch of battles. Eventually the Lamanites kill all of the Nephites, including, amongst them, I can't remember. Was Mormon supposed to be one of the Nephites? I can't remember. I think he was. Was it Moroni?
I want to say yes.
Yeah. Or wait, it could be. I could have it backwards. Hold on, I gotta check one of the illustrations here. Yeah. Mormon was one of the Nephites. Moroni was the guy who was a historian who eventually, wrote down and collected what would become the book plates and hid them in what would eventually be Joseph Smith's backyard.
Well, the name Moroni actually refers to two of the characters.
Yeah, so there's apparently two Moroni in here.
Angel Moroni, which is the one that supposedly set up the plates to be found, and then there was Captain Moroni from the historical account.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term.
Yeah, for lack of a better term. By the way, I kind of briefly just mentioned this. If you get a recent edition of the Book of Mormon, one of the things it does, it has these illustrations at the beginning. Really like full color painted illustrations. Like there's a painting by Heinrich Hoffman of Jesus. And then there's a painting by Alvin Gittins that's supposed to be a portrait of Joseph Smith. But there's like these illustrations of Lehi and his people arriving in the promised land. Lehi was like one of the original Jews that made it to the Americas. The Lamanites kill all the Nephites. That basically is sort of just happens there. And so the Lamanites, of course, become all red and dark, and they sort of hang around the Americas for a while. Right around 30 or 33 AD, what happens then? Jesus is crucified and then resurrected. So guess what he does after he's resurrected? He decides to take a tour over to the Americas and preach to the locals.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. And then he says his work is done, and that's it. Eventually, Moroni, the guy, he gets the plates, he writes them down, he puts them in the head, Joseph Smith finds them, and there you go. That's pretty much the story of the Book of Mormon.
And if that doesn't make sense to you, then you have a brain.
Yeah, by the way, because I just want to point this out. Like I said, there's all these like illustrations you can find when you find one of these editions of the Book of Mormon. And they're really well done illustrations. They're legit good stuff.
I mean, there are very good, high quality LDS artists out there. Full stop.
But here's the thing you have to remember about all of the stuff that you see in this book, like all of the Book of Mormon, all of the imagery, all the stuff that they're showing you. For example, in this illustration during a great battle between the Nephites and the Lamanites, a prophet from the Lamanites by the name of, let's see, what's his name? See if I can, I gotta look it up here. Yeah, Samuel the Lamanite. He's one of the prophets of the Lamanites, and he's prophesizing, and there's like this big battle going on, and this lovely illustration that you'll find in there, if you'll just take a look at that. Nice and pretty, by a guy named Arnold Freeberg. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice, okay. but there's a thing about that you have to remember. That was supposed to have taken place in prehistoric America.
Yeah, no, that looks more like Babylon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's,
well, it does look slightly Aztec as well.
Oh, you mentioned that.
Yep.
Get a look at this picture. Ding, ding, ding. Get a look at this image they have of Jesus preaching to the descendants of the Lamanites.
Oh,
hold
boy.
On. Yeah. I got to bring it up here. Hold on. I got it. All right, here we go. Take a look at this.
Hello, Skype.
Yeah. There we go. Man, look at all those white Indians.
Oh, no. No. This is not Saxony.
That doesn't work.
The clothes are slightly right. The humans are not. Okay, there's like two people in there who look like they could be. Oh, jeez. Okay, I'm done. I'm done.
It's best you don't overthink it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And remember, the Mormons and all of its offshoots absolutely see this as holy scripture. So they basically believe every fucking part of this.
Yeah.
So, Pat, is there anything you want to add? Being our resident ex-Mormon?
I think I can pretty much let it speak for itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, it speaks rather loudly. So
now, of course, as I mentioned earlier, this is not the only book that Joseph Smith published. There's two other books he published. One is called The Pearl of Great Price, and that's the one. And the other one is called Doctrines and Covenants,
which those is more of a guidebook for the church.
Mm-hmm. And those are the ones where the polygamy shit comes from.
Yeah,
and the whole thing about. Basically, you know, God and, you know, Jehovah and all the angels originating on a planet called Kolob. So yeah, that was the Book of Mormon. If you ever want to, like, give yourself a test to, like, see if you can torture yourself and actually read this fucking thing, just look around. If there are any Mormon missionaries in the area, they've left one somewhere.
Hmm.
And that has been... Go ahead.
No, and I was just going to say, you know, as crazy as this stuff is, most of the Mormons that I have met are actually super awesome people.
Well, so, yeah, but they're Mormons. It's genetic.
Yeah, so, you know.
Yeah, but look, this isn't anything against Mormons in general. Mormons in general tend to be really nice people. They're usually super cool. But guys, your religion is bullshit. I'm sorry, but it is.
And to tell the truth, you could eviscerate most belief systems the same way.
Yeah.
But you can do Mormonism much easier because...
because there's a paper trail.
There's all this fucking evidence that you can actually hold in your hands.
Yeah.
So. I mean, for fuck's sake, the dude, fucking Joseph Smith, died after trying to escape from jail and was shot by a lynch mob because they were so sick of his bullshit. Well, I mean, there was also that thing where he tried to sick the Nauvoo Legion on a newspaper that said bad things about him.
Hmm.
So there's also that.
That whole Danites thing.
Yeah.
That didn't go well.
That's a rabbit hole you don't, you can go down if you so choose.
Yeah. So that's been Brandon's Random Factoid.
Yeah, definitely check out the musical, though.
Oh, yeah, that show's amazing.
Yeah, that show's awesome. That's awesome.
I'm going to have to listen to that afterwards.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I went to look it up, and I was like, oh, it's no longer on Amazon Prime. It's a different version they have up there now.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same. It's like a digital version, explicit, plus the digital booklet was what it was before.
Mm.
Now it's just without the booklet.
No.
It's the same thing, but...
Yeah.
Also, I think, like, doesn't the LDS Church actually put on, like, a big, like, pageant show or something every year where they dramatize parts of the Book of Mormon?
That wouldn't surprise me.
There's all kinds of things that actually, all kinds of celebrations and festivals and things. I'm I'm not sure what one you're.
Okay, that's good enough answer. Yeah, there's a lot of shit about the LDS Church that gets really complicated once you get through the meat and potatoes of it. But anyway, all right, so it's now time to start the show proper. And as always, we start off with our assholes of the week. And holy crap, do we have some major fucking assholes for you. Because this week, over 300 members of the Catholic clergy in the state of Pennsylvania have now been shown to have sexually abused over 1,000 kids over several decades.
Yep.
And you thought the shit going on in Boston was bad.
Oof. And it's almost like it might be corrupt to the core.
Yeah, and apparently this shit's been going on since at least the 50s, or even before that.
And this is just in six Pennsylvania dioceses.
Yeah. I mean, goddamn, what else can you really add to that?
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I know who you can add to that. Bill Donahue from the fucking Catholic League, who's basically been trying being the fucking pedo apologist, saying, no, it's not that bad, and you guys are being very mean to us for bringing this up. No, fuck you.
Yeah, and there are some really bad examples in here of some of the stuff people did. I think some had kids pose for pictures and shared them with the others. And they took photos of their victims and a collection of child pornography, which they produced.
Yeah, like a few. I think a few of them ran. Yeah, I actually think a few of them actually ran like a child porn ring.
And one boy was forced to stand on a bed in a rectory, stripped naked, and pose as Christ on the cross. On the cross for the priests.
Wow.
That's fucked up.
Fuck me. Okay. Yeah, it's pretty heinous shit.
They gave their favorite boys gold crosses to wear.
Yeah. God, it's... I mean, like, at this point, you basically realize... You know, like for a long time, people, you know, for a while, people were saying, like, no, this is specifically an American problem. No, it isn't.
Nope.
No, it is not. It's all over the world.
They need to burn this all to the ground and start over again, as far as.
Yeah. Yeah. Pope Francis. Yeah. Pope Francis probably might be a good idea to go ahead and just torch the fucking Vatican at this point. Mm-hmm. Just. Walk out, have it explode behind you while you're walking out, and just say, okay, back to square one.
Yep, everybody has to go through the test again.
Well, yeah.
Start everybody from scratch.
There's one real good way to help this. Let them fucking be married. Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
And see, freaking Pope Francis has entertained that idea. Granted, he hasn't actually done it yet, but you know, he's like, yeah, maybe we should let the priest get married.
Yeah, that's going to happen sooner or later.
It's worked
sooner.
Out fine for the Church of England.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully fine. I don't know. I don't hear anything. You know,
nothing like this would come out over there. So, you know.
But yeah, if you thought the shit going down in Boston was bad, and yeah, it was pretty fucking bad. This one fucking dwarfs it. And that is mostly, and for the record, most of these cases that we're talking about here, the latest, the most recent one was from, I think, around 2002.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it extends all the way back to the 1940s. And so, like, compared to the stuff that was going on in Boston, which only was going on for, like, about 20 years, this shit's been going around since at least World War II. That's a lot of kids who got their fucking lives wrecked by these assholes.
Yeah.
And this shit doesn't fuck... And here's the thing. Sexual assault on a child is fucking... It's a goddamn wound they take with them to their graves.
Yep.
Yeah. You don't fucking get over that shit.
Especially when it's a religious figure.
Yeah.
In your community.
And when humans experience trauma, that gets passed down to the next generation, too.
Yeah. And yeah, so all those... And also, I just want to say, whoever it was that the archdeacon or whatever in Pennsylvania or one of those douchebags who said that this reason is because of a quote-unquote disordered homosexual culture. Go fuck yourself.
Exactly.
You pricks brought this on yourself. I'm fucking tired of you.
Yeah.
You and your goddamn fucking just everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, fuck Bill Donahue calling us anti-Catholic bigots. Dude, you're the one who's fucking trying to shelter these child-raping bastards. In fact, he's done it more than once now. I'm actually starting to wonder if he's got any skeletons in his closet and if any of them are child-sized. Because there's got to be a reason he's so fucking intent on trying to make sure that this shit doesn't. That he is so quick to defend this shit. Like, seriously.
Yeah, that's very suspect.
Yep, very, very suspect.
Because he did this same shit back when the Boston stuff was going on. But yeah, those are our assholes of the week, and they are massive, gigantic assholes. So, to sort of wash that taste out of our mouth, we've got our hero of the week. And our hero of the week is the uncle of Joseph Goebbels lookalike slash clone slash probably prodigy Stephen goddamn Miller. His family, believe it or not, are a family of immigrants. His uncle, Stephen Miller's uncle, basically came out and told the sort of his Miller's family. They were the victims of anti-Jewish violence in the 1920s and in Europe, and they left for the U.S. They just managed to escape Hitler and the Nazis by about, what, I think like 10 years. The only reason they were able to actually come to America was because at the time the U.S. had a fairly okay immigration, you know, thing for European immigrants at the time, which unfortunately we didn't carry over to by the time Hitler became to power. If anybody's ever heard the story of the Exodus ship, where a bunch of Jews escaping the Nazi terror got on a ship and tried to escape to the U.S. and were turned away at the ports. Basically, his uncle's saying, like, you know, the type of shit you're talking about is what Hitler was trying to do to our people. And, you know, you and your mother and your father would not exist if we were doing that shit over when we were around. So, you know, fuck you. He also basically said that, yeah, his whole family hates him now.
Yeah. Yeah, basically, they would not have been able to come over with the rules that they're trying to put in place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I
just love that these people are getting so exposed now.
I mean, after a year, this was sort of the point we had been waiting for a year and a half after the inauguration.
Yeah.
And it finally is fucking happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's just the biggest relief ever. Like, it just it feels good being vindicated, doesn't it? But the thing is to remember, Stephen Miller is still in office, and he still has power. Mm. And you bet your ass he's still trying to do this shit. Mm. But for now, he has been thoroughly chastened by his uncle and his family. So, that was our hero of the week, Stephen Miller's uncle.
Yeah, if you want to see a good Uncle Burn, just read that whole article.
Yeah. All right. So it is now time for the proper show proper. And sadly, first of all, we have to say goodbye to the Queen of Soul herself, Aretha Franklin. She passed away this week at the age of 76. Although the news of her imminent death had been kind of known for a couple days before that, once it was announced that she was in hospice care.
And she had pancreatic cancer.
But she was one of the greatest voices in popular music for a reason. She helped. She was a major part of popular music for the 60s, the 70s, 80s, and afterwards. like, she became famous in the 1960s. That's what, when soul music as a genre was sort of exploding. You know, her and James Brown, you know, a bunch of others. And plus, she just had it. There was no way she couldn't be a star because she had such an amazing voice.
Yep.
She also was a very early feminist icon. Her song "Respect" in particular is,
which isn't even technically her song.
Yeah, it's a cover. Yeah, it's a cover.
Otis Redding wrote the original.
Yep.
She changed the lyrics to be more feminist.
Mm-hmm. And it exploded.
Yep.
Yeah.
She was just a great entertainer and a great showman.
Imagine a lot of us probably first saw her in the Blues Brothers.
Yep. Yeah. She became like for us, and then of course she did. She actually managed to perform in President Obama's inauguration.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think was like a major moment for her and black people in America in general. She did a bunch of like, you know, during she was just always sort of a major figure and a very reliable one because, you know, she kept performing pretty frequently up until the end. So,
yeah.
Even as like a big figure, she didn't necessarily live a glamorous life.
No.
Like she married a fireman.
Yeah, she was actually pretty private. She didn't, her personal life wasn't really something people talked about. Yeah. She was able to sort of do that kind of, oh, looks like my parents are back home. She was able to kind of, she was the type of person where she was really famous, but she knew how to sort of do the balancing act so that she was able to keep her private life private.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, is actually very hard to do, and was very hard to do even back then, so. But, yeah, she was pretty awesome. And it sucks that she is gone, but, you know, her music will always be there, and there will always be people to cover it.
Yeah.
Yeah, just look up some of her live performances on YouTube there, and, yeah, they don't make, you know, songs like that anymore.
No.
I'm sorry for those of you who like your Taylor Swifts and the whatever, but no. just not the same.
Yeah, I mean, there are some performers who come close, but...
Yeah. I'll give... Pink, actually, gets a bad rap, but live, she is phenomenal.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. But.
Yeah, and also... God, what's her name? Did that song? She's got a bunch of popular songs. She's the sort of that full-figured English woman, the jazz singer. I can't remember what her name
Adele?
Is.
Adele.
Yeah, Adele. She comes really close. Yeah. So yeah, and I mean, she and I'm pretty sure she's directly referenced Aretha Franklin as an inspiration. So
she has. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's sad. And unfortunately, we've got another one. This one you may not know as much, but you've definitely heard his work one time or another. Unfortunately, we have to say goodbye to Japanese voice actor Unsho Ishizuka.
Very prolific voice actor.
Pretty much, if you watched anime in the last 20 or 30 years or played video games, you heard him.
Yep.
You may not recognize the name, but you definitely heard him. Amongst others, he was one of the voice actors for Hayachi Mishima. So,
and was only had the role for a short time after the previous voice actor had actually committed suicide.
Mm-hmm.
But it needs to be said that he probably unquestionably turned in. The most important performance as Heihachi, full stop, because he told the greatest and most important Heihachi story in all of Tekken with Tekken 7.
Yeah.
Which really gave the character something of a soul.
Yeah. Which, for a character like Heihachi, is not easy to do.
Who had up to that point just been kind of a cartoonishly abusive megalomaniac, father/grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
And Tekken 7, if you go and play the story mode for that, really goes out of its way to explain everything that Heihachi did throughout the series. And when you really see things from his perspective, it kind of paints him as a very strong anti-hero of sorts.
Yeah, and the story mode in Tekken 7 did a really good job of humanizing Heihachi.
Yes. And Ishizuka's performance had everything to do with that.
Yeah.
So. But he was in Full Metal Alchemist. He was Professor Oak in Pokemon. Mr. Satan in Dragon Ball Z.
Yabusa
from Naruto. So many,
like I said, if you've been watching anime for the last 20, 30 years, you've heard him.
Yep. And if we know our fandoms, we can expect to be inundated with really soul crushing fan art. Imminently.
Yep.
Give it time. Oh boy. Okay.
Oh, he was Dojima in Persona 4.
Yep.
Oh.
Yep, I remember. Now that one I do remember. All right, so finally, off from there, for those of you who don't know, last weekend we had the Unite the Right 2 rally. It was meant to be it happened in D.C., not in Charlottesville, although there was something like a rally that happened in Charlottesville.
It was Antifa people.
Yeah.
Good.
But, yeah, so they were going to have this big rally in Washington, D.C. It was going to be big, and the right was going to come out, and we're going to cuck those bastards. And
it was a shit show, but it wasn't the kind of shit show anyone expected.
No. Remember, it's definitely a step up from the last one, because remember, somebody fucking died at the last one.
Yeah.
Not just died, murdered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This time, there was, like, what, 24 people that actually showed up?
Unite the Right 2, as in 2 dozen people would show up.
Yeah. And they were basically dwarfed by, like, I think it was like, thousands of counter-protesters.
Yeah, at least a few thousand.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's got to be fucking humiliating.
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. This is what we have to do moving forward.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not enough that we've basically outnumbered and have now crippled and humiliate them. We have to keep going until they fucking disappear. But yeah, there's been like a couple of reasons thrown out of why the turnout was so small. Apparently Richard Spencer's had tweeted out saying that no, you shouldn't go, his people shouldn't go there. It also doesn't help that of all the people that helped start that did the Unite the Right rally last time, a lot of them are either in poverty or in jail.
Yeah.
Again, or currently awaiting sentencing, or in the middle of a bunch of lawsuits, or have had to out and out flee the country. I mean, remember one of the big presents last time was the Traditionalist Workers Party.
Which basically doesn't exist now.
It doesn't exist anymore because the head of the party was arrested for assault after he found out that the number two in the party was sleeping with his wife, and then they beat the crap out of each other in their trailer park and got arrested, and it was pretty much the most god-awful white trash spectacle you could think of.
Did you see it was some video of a stream that Jason Kessler was doing?
Yeah, Jason Kessler is currently living with his dad.
Yeah.
And
that was awesome.
As they're doing the stream, you can actually hear his dad's voice saying, "Hey, get out of my room!"
Yeah.
And they have like a vocal altercation. He says, "No, that's my dad. He's been cucked by the History Channel because he watches old World War II documentaries and thinks the Nazis were bad." It's just,
oh my god.
And the other guy talks about how he has his own apartment.
Yeah,
but he also has a boat just in case things go bad.
Yeah, he has a houseboat.
That's where he was streaming from. Was on his boat.
And by houseboat, he means like a John boat with a tent on top?
No.
No, it was like actual houseboat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean they are nowhere near as strong as they were last year. Yeah. So
just have to deplatform them both online and in real life.
And they have publicly, I mean, these douchebags have come out and said, "No, the Antifa stuff is totally working. They have crippled us in a way that may be very hard for us to make any kind of comeback at this point." Also, the fact that you totally murdered an innocent person probably also didn't help.
Yeah.
No, usually that doesn't go well for you after that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and the crying Nazi, yeah, he's basically, like, living in a shitty trailer now.
Yep.
So, yeah, this shit works.
Yep. Punching Nazis in the face, totally
recommend
it. Punching
Nazis in the face, deplatforming them, taking pictures of them and spreading them all over the internet.
So they get fired.
Yep.
It works.
Hell, even, what's his face, Alex Jones got banned off of Twitter for a week.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, yeah.
That's on Twitter on top of all the other shit. You know, he's been kicked off of YouTube, he's been kicked off of Facebook,
Spotify.
His pirate radio station got shut down.
Pornhub, kicked off of that. I'm not making that up.
He actually did get kicked off of Pornhub. God, that's just glorious. So the point is, we're winning.
Yep.
But don't
just have
let
to keep
up
the pressure on.
Yeah, yeah, keep up the pressure.
If anything, floor it.
Yeah.
Yep. Going into November, especially.
Especially, yeah. Anyways, it's August now. That's only a couple months away now. So
yep.
It's really close.
Yeah. God, I can't wait until it gets here. Mostly because it won't be so fucking hot anymore.
That too.
Yes.
But anyway, so next up. Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She's currently press secretary for President Trump. And we haven't really covered it. I mean, we kind of covered it last week, but we haven't really covered it much after that. Omarosa has tapes. And she claims that at least in one of these tapes, or a tape she heard, that you can hear Trump basically using the N-word.
Shocking.
And I think there was also tapes about The Apprentice where they wanted to have a season where it was black people versus white people.
Yeah. He's like, don't be an instigator, dude. But anyway, so when all this stuff came out, Sarah, of course, was asked about these during the presser, which not a whole lot of those happen now because for obvious reasons. And she basically tried to tout these employment numbers for the African-American community, that apparently jobs for African-Americans in Trump's first year is now close to or greater than the ones that Obama had through the last 4 years of his campaign, of his administration, or his 8 years. I can't remember. Anyway, the point is the numbers were complete bullshit, and she had to admit it.
Yeah, the only number she got right was how many Trump has created. But yeah, she pulled a lot of bullshit. So yeah, they use BLS statistics, Bureau of Labor Statistics. But yeah, so partly some of the problems with the stats is, I guess it ended up being that she was using stats that were the first 20 months of both of Obama's terms. Which obviously the first term is dealing with the recession. So everybody's losing their jobs.
Yeah.
So she combined those two numbers. So it was like negative 600,000 for the first term, 800,000 for the second term. And so obviously it doesn't look good if you do those, but like she said all 8 years, which when you do that, he added about four times what Trump has added in 20 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That seems to be way more. Not the bullshit she's been peddling.
Yep.
So yeah, she apologized for that, saying the numbers were correct, but the time frame was not. She also said, I'm sorry for the mistake, but no apologies for the 700,000 jobs for African Americans created under President Trump.
And whoosh, there goes the point right over
your
head.
I'm sorry, not sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, not sorry for those jobs you got, even though I'm still fucking lying.
Yes.
But yeah, she's not going to get any punishment as long as she's giving out the official state information.
Towing the party line.
Mm-hmm.
Just towing the Trump line.
Yeah.
She can lie as much as she wants, and she has lied a lot.
Mm.
I like PolitiFact going through this stuff. She's got her own profile. I'm not sure if I can get to it. But most of hers are false, which is great to look at.
Mm-hmm.
I like when you see the list. Like false, 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 false. I think there's one that's like pants on fire, false. I like those.
Yeah,
because it's an animated GIF of the ratings, the meter on fire, which is great.
So right. Yeah, the Trump administration lied. At this point, nobody's surprised.
Yeah, pretty much.
But people still need to call them out on it.
Yeah.
Yep. And boy, are they getting called out on it.
Because I don't know if you've ever decided to torture yourself or maybe entertain yourself by going over to a comment section on Fox News. They are really fucking delusional.
Yeah.
Well, if you want to torture yourself, go look at Mike Huckabee's Twitter account.
No, I'm not that masochistic.
Nope.
But, I mean, it's really, even when someone on their own network, someone who's actually kind of respected, comes out and just ask questions. Like, okay, so when Katrina Pearson, some of you guys may not remember Katrina Pearson. She was a member of the Trump camp for a while. She was basically, she lied and then was caught lying when Omarosa apparently was watching the interview and then released a tape the next day that completely contradicted her. And so she had to have another interview and tried to justify it. Even when the anchor, the guy giving the interview, again, Fox News personality, is telling her, look, can you just say that maybe you were mistaken or you just, I mean, you basically lied. You're literally telling me stuff that's not true and we can hear the tape telling us that it's not true. And then you look down at the commie, it's like, looks like Fox has turned liberal. Blah, blah, blah. It's like they do live in an alternate universe.
Yeah.
It's just, it is the most naked example of just absolute pure denial.
Yeah.
Like they are so, it's, and as you know, the wall starts coming down for the Trump campaign, they're probably going to get more and more delusional.
It is mass delusion.
Yep.
Yeah.
It says a lot about the great deal maker that so many of his people are the sorts that will just start taping the things you say to catch you and bullshit for later on.
Yeah. By the way, Omarosa supposedly has over 200 tapes. So.
Well, this ain't over by a long shot.
That was a good hire, Trump.
Yeah, and apparently, I mean, it's gotten so bad, apparently, that the word has gotten out that apparently Trump wanted to have her arrested, even though he wasn't sure what crime she may have committed.
Didn't they try to bribe her?
I think they did.
I think as soon as she got fired, they wanted to bribe her for her silence.
Yeah, they did.
There's all stories about NDAs.
There's people on tape trying to bribe her, so yeah.
And any of the aides have to sign NDAs that I think people, lawyers have said, that there's no way they can hold these people to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
So. Yeah, of course they would have bullshit stuff like that.
Yeah. All right. And now for another story from this week that was just fucking insane. An airline employee, not a pilot, not a steward or anything like that, just a dude who worked on the at a tarmac, apparently had a breakdown and stole one of the jets at the SeaTac airport. Basically rode it around, did like a couple loop-de-loops, and then crashed it into an island and died.
Jesus Christ.
Hopefully the jet was empty at the time.
No, yeah. It was completely empty.
Yeah,
just
he was the only one on there.
Okay, well.
And so people are pretty sure he was suicidal.
Yeah. They've got joking. The whole, the black box has like the whole recording of the whole conversation he had with the control people as he was piling in it. So
yeah. He was joking about, oh yeah, this is probably going to be life in jail for me. stuff like that. And they're just like, we just want you to be safe and get this landed. They also try to get him out of the city.
Yeah.
So he hopefully wouldn't crash into any buildings and hurt other people.
Yep.
So, he was also joking about doing a barrel roll.
Fucking did.
But honestly, I don't think he actually intended to crash.
It's possible.
I think he knew he wasn't going to be able to land it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still.
Oh, yeah, he actually got airborne.
Oh yeah. He was in the air for like a couple hours.
Yeah, you can look up on Twitter like videos people had that were nearby.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, there's like, why is this plane in the air doing weird stuff?
I wonder how he flew kind of low too. Island.
Yeah.
What was that, Teresa?
I was wondering how he crashed into an island. I'm like, is that like some thing that they have? You know, like equipment wise.
Well, they wanted to know an actual island,
an actual fucking island.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he also didn't know how to depressurize it, so he was lightheaded.
Yeah.
He's not a pilot. He doesn't know how to do that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
But, so something that could have ended far, far worse. It could have been. And as, of course, the news and everybody else has probably rightfully brought up, imagine if it was somebody else.
Mm-hmm. I'm assuming this was a white guy.
Yeah, it was.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just imagine if it was somebody else that did this or could have done this. Because all this dude literally did was he just tried to watch and memorize what the pilots did.
Yeah.
And he saw it so many times that he was able to kind of piece together parts of it. So much of it, enough of it, that he was actually able to get the plane to take off. So.
Yeah.
That's it's gonna make flying just a little bit more.
Yeah.
Well, thanks,
more
pal.
Security theater coming up.
Yeah. Now you're gonna have to get two cavity checks. But all right. So next story. So who here actually like ate the cafeteria food when they were going to school?
Hell yeah, I ate it.
Yeah,
I did. I actually only started doing it when I was in high school. I had my
tickets and all that.
Yeah, my mom packed my lunch.
Well, did you guys have schools that had cafeterias? Because growing up here, we didn't, and they still don't until high school.
Oh yeah, we had. I had cafeterias all through elementary, middle, and high school. Yeah.
See,
yeah.
When we moved down south, it used to be elementary all the way through high school in that one building, and then they broke off the high school to a different place, and the whole county went together instead of different sections of the county. But they had a full service hot cafeteria, hot meal cafeteria. And so, hell yeah, they had decent rolls. I mean, I'm sure they were artificial as fuck, but I liked them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course, as you also probably know, school lunches in America suck as far as nutrition is concerned.
Oh, who's that guy, that chef from the UK, Jamie Oliver or something like that?
Yeah, Jamie Oliver.
Yeah, he really tried to
take. He tried so hard.
Yeah.
So hard that he basically broke down crying like that one time. Yeah. So he failed miserably. I mean, you know, for the record, I mean, Michelle Obama did her part too, and she actually did some good. But our school lunches are garbage, mostly because they're contracted out to food companies.
It's a lot of just not having the money for, like, good stuff.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, if you ate there, then I guess you built up something of a relationship with your lunch lady.
Yeah.
Or lunch ladies. In particular, these two lunch ladies who apparently were skimming off the top for about 15 years, getting about $500,000 in the process.
Oof.
Yep. Yeah, this took place in Connecticut. Two sisters that, multiple charges, including larceny and defrauding the public. This happened in two school cafeterias, the middle school and the high school, in the same district. So the way this worked is they did not have a great system for keeping track of the money. Early on. And so, quote here, since it occurred over a long period of time in relatively small amounts, the district was unaware of these discrepancies until it instituted new financial controls, specifically related to the collection and depositing cash in the cafeterias. So they took money from the cash registers before a new system was put in.
Yeah.
And when the new system was introduced, the amount of cash taken during lunch increased significantly without an increase in the numbers of meals served.
Mm-hmm.
The average daily cash intake went from below $40 to $150 a day.
Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
They were making good bank off that, weren't they?
Yeah, they took about $137,000 from the middle school, $350,000 from the high school, and those numbers are just from 2012 to 2017. They do not have the numbers from before that due to statute of limitations. According to arrest warrants, the sisters would have cashiers sign blank bank deposit slips and allegedly put a coworker on dishwashing duty for several months when she asked financial questions. So they were acting like a mob.
Yep.
People knew.
Yeah.
Oh, how shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that kind of skimming, if you could call that skimming, I mean, that was beyond skimming. Is going to be harder going forward as we move more towards, card-based and phone-based economies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy that some places with hot lunches, especially schools, wouldn't just have the kids, the parents reload the kids' account with more cash, top it off. Don't most places do something like that already?
Yeah, it probably depends on the district.
Yeah, I mean, remember, I haven't been to school in like 15 years, so
yeah,
we need you on to the go system that they use too. Find out what's going on, Brandon.
Yeah,
I keep having that fucking dream almost every night too. Like for some reason, I have to go back to school, and I'm like 32, but all the people and friends I had are still the same age.
You have no idea where your classes are at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, wait, where's this at?
And then I'm taking from shit from teachers, and in my head I'm thinking, what the fuck am I doing this? I'm 32.
How did I just start showing up weeks left in the semester?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't done any of the work. What? Why'd they let me back in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then I finally get the courage to talk them out, and I still end up getting terrified because I got to go to detention. So they still scare the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
But anyway, all right. So move. So, who here remembers? I think it was a couple years ago when the company that makes the EpiPen, which for those people who have have bad allergies and reactions and stuff, they basically jacked up the price.
Mm-hmm.
It was that ass hat.
Yeah.
Shkreli or whatever the fuck.
Art Shkreli, yeah.
Yeah.
He was different.
His was a different. This one was a woman, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I thought he had the EpiPen one, too.
No.
Okay. Can't pin that one on him.
No.
Uh-huh.
He had the AIDS pill.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, the FDA has officially approved the first generic version of the EpiPen, so...
Good.
Yeah, good. A long
yeah,
time
so those coming. Prices should start coming back down.
Yeah.
Those things have gone up a crazy amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it says here about rose more than 400% over a decade.
Well, you know what the latest problem is now? It's insulin.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people have been rationing their insulin because they can't afford it, and that is beyond deadly.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I've seen some people saying, like, oh, yeah, I would just not eat for a day to make it last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have to eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how you get diabetic ketoacidosis.
Yeah. This generic drug trend is actually gonna it's not over by a long shot.
No.
I think the FDA is going to be approving a lot more of these.
Yeah.
Simply because most people can't afford it.
Yeah, it'll probably be right around the time that we finally start getting universal health care in this country too.
Yeah, I wondered if this is like the
and it's coming.
Yeah.
Don't make no mistake. It is coming. It is on its way.
Yeah,
I mean, there's going to be a few hundred thousand people who are going to fight it tooth and fucking nail, but it's going to happen.
Yeah, what's going to happen is all of the groundwork is going to be laid by everyone else.
Yeah.
Basically, the systems are going to be put in place first.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen so slowly that nobody is going to even notice.
Yeah. And look, here's the thing. It doesn't matter what the political affiliation of the person is. If you just explain socialized medicine to them in a way that's easy to understand, that isn't pretentious or mean-spirited, even the hardest of hardcore Republicans will come around. I should know. My parents and my grandma, both hardcore Republicans, now support socialized medicine. So,
yeah, just don't use the term socialism.
Yeah, it's not. Trust me, it is. It should not be a partisan issue.
No, yeah. I don't even use affordable. Maybe sensible.
Yeah,
yeah.
Even the fuck. I mean, for fuck's sake. Go north of our border up to Phil's country. Both of their sides of their political spectrum agree on the health system they have. Mm-hmm. They may like fight over funding and shit, but there ain't a Tory politician that would be caught dead trying to revoke the fucking Medicare that they got up there. Because if they tried to do it and were successful, there wouldn't be a fucking Tory left alive in the country of Canada afterwards.
Yeah. We've actually got the opposite problem here, where there's a movement for to privatize.
Yeah.
So that's weird.
Well, I mean, I mean, it's starting to fail here. They got to import that shit. They got to export that shit somewhere.
Yeah, it's like you know, we have a socialized healthcare. I guess that's the way to call
it.
No,
that's what it is. It's socialized.
That's
medicine.
What it is.
Yeah,
yeah. But you know, it does have its disadvantages sometimes. Sometimes the weights can be a little bit crazy. So having the option of private clinics is for a lot of people that can afford it.
Yeah.
Why the hell not?
Yeah.
So hopefully that doesn't spread too far because that could get really, really ugly,
right,
really quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love seeing Twitter coverage of Ocasio-Cortez by people on the right, because it's going outrage over her saying, "Oh, she demands living wage health care for everyone." It's like, oh, this is so terrible.
Yeah. So terrible.
Oh my God, she's worse than Hitler for wanting a living wage and health care for everyone.
Yeah. For the record, for what Phil just said, we want to make this clear. He talks about how the wait times can be a little crazy. Don't take that too far, because, you know, the thing about us Americans is when you say that, we think it's like that across the board.
No, it's people are not. Yeah. They're not dying.
Most of
the
like waiting times, the really bad ones you hear about, that shit's for like elective procedures. If you go in there with like a fucking broken arm or something, they're gonna try and patch you up pretty quickly. It's not like a fucking, it's not like the fucking Thunderdome or something, you know.
There's no death panels.
No, there's no death panels. There's it really depends on how well the municipality is able to fund the hospital.
Yeah,
because that's the that's what you got to worry about.
Yeah,
and even then, you know, there's still at least one or two doctors on staff at all times.
Yeah.
So just remember that there's one or two doctors there, and they have to cover the entire hospital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yes, the wait times can be a little crazy, but
here's the best
you know,
part: you don't have to fucking pay for it. So
yeah, you don't have to fucking pay for it, and You know, in my case, there's like three hospitals within a 15-minute drive. So yeah. If I don't go to the one here in Lashuda, I can go to the one in Hawkesbury or the one in St. Jerome. So it's not so bad, yeah. Really.
See, I had to tell that shit to like my parents and my grandparents. You know, I was like, look, man, all that stuff you hear about the wait times and shit, I'm telling you, I know from the people who live there that have told me it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if you go there with a runny nose, yes, expect to wait a while.
For the record, though, I mean, where I live, if I have to go see the doctor and it's not an appointment, I mean, I do have to wait there for a couple hours already. Yep. So I'm expecting it wouldn't be much worse in Canada. So
no, it isn't.
It's my experience. So anyway, moving on from there. The FBI has officially fired Peter Stroke. Or Sturzok, or however you pronounce that guy.
Stroke.
Yeah.
It's Stroke.
Apparently it had something to do. Was it with that? What was it? What was it that fired him, finally? Why? Speak, Chris.
Yeah, I don't really know. I think it's just disciplinary stuff. That's, I imagine Trump also had a hand in this.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his administration sort of pushing for this.
And the denying him access to the classified intel afterwards is a very nice example of a First Amendment violation, right? Mm-hmm. Right there. So
yeah.
Great job, Trump.
Let's see. The deputy director made the decision. The head of the office that normally handles disciplinary actions decided he should have instead faced a demotion and 60-day suspension.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, also, as a result, he set up a GoFundMe account to raise some money for legal fees as well as help recover some of the potential lost income he could have had.
And it did pretty good from what I heard.
Yeah. Let me just check on it right now. $430,000.
Like it actually, it reached its first, like got really close to the first goal, so he decided to extend it.
Yeah, the goal is at $500,000 right now. He's at $433,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's okay.
Yeah.
If your living expenses are more than, $500,000 for 2 months, you might have to reevaluate your priorities. Just saying.
Well, this is also legal fees.
Lawyers get expensive.
Yeah. Not that expensive.
You would be surprised. This is the United States we're talking about.
Yeah.
My bird's decided to make himself heard.
Hello, bird.
I want some of that money.
I want some attention. Damn it. I'll be right back. Hold on. I'll fix this real quick.
Yeah.
So, next up. Like we mentioned earlier, we had some primaries that happened this week. And we'll probably continue to have some more up until November. But we got some news from these primaries. First of all, the Democrats in what state was it?
Vermont.
In Vermont, elected Christine Hallquist, a trans woman. And she may make history as the first openly transgender governor nominee.
Yep.
Awesome.
I mean, this is Bernie Sanders' state, so.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but, you know, there's also, they have some problems with drugs there and
They do.
Whatnot, you know. Yeah. Vermont seems like a mixed bag, really.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know if I'm reading that right.
Yeah, but, that's kind of, that's a big deal.
Yep.
And then from Connecticut, we have Johanna Hayes, who could be the first Black Democrat from Connecticut in Congress.
And she was also Teacher of the Year?
Yep.
Yeah.
There's a teacher getting involved and actually winning. She was not picked as the main Democrat candidate, so she ended up upsetting the establishment choice.
And we had I think this other one was also a big upset, too. And what was this, Minnesota? Or was it Maine?
Minnesota,
yeah. Ilhan Omar. Won the damn primary in Minnesota, could be the first Somali American in Congress.
Yep.
I guess you've noticed by now the Trump effect here is that a bunch of women and minorities, a lot of first-timers getting involved in politics.
Yep.
Yeah, effectively.
Yeah.
She's also an immigrant, a refugee.
Mm-hmm.
Came to the U.S. 2 decades ago.
Yep.
When, Minnesota I think was that a was big when, one for Somalia.
During, I think that was during the rule of Baby Doc, but yeah. No, no, that's this is Somalia, so no, that's the Baby Doc's Haiti. Sorry. But yeah, this is Somalia, which doesn't really have a government to speak of. But yeah, so yeah, we're going to have a lot of firsts. This midterms is going to be something to watch, definitely.
Yep. Yeah.
But again, reminder, get out there and vote.
Yep.
Yeah, and she was endorsed by Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm.
As well as the governor.
Yeah. And like I said earlier, 23 Justice Democrats won the nomination for their party. So it's definitely – and most of those people were, you know, supported by, yes, Cortez and Bernie's people. So that's pretty awesome. It is a very – you know, it's not like a giant explosion of progress, but a strategic process. It's building, and it's working.
Yep.
And it's hard won, too, I think. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, none of these people are relying on, like, big political action committees. They're all taking private donations, most of them at, like, $27 tops.
Yeah.
And winning their nominations. So, I mean, you get out with ideas. Ideas win.
Yeah. And you put in the efforts, and oftentimes if you have the right platform, it can work out really well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
All right. Next story is out of my state.
So where were you at, Brandon?
I'm actually in Jones County. So Fayette County is actually a little ways from where I live.
Have you been taking any road trips lately?
Nope.
Hell, what I have happened not. Here?
Apparently, somebody stole $98,000 worth of ramen noodles in Fayette County, Georgia.
Tell me it was Top Ramen.
What brand? What was it? Maruchan? Was it Nissan?
Okay. I don't think it says here.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet you
25 cents a pack. That's a lot of ramen.
I'm
going to
bet you it was Maruchan because they got crates of that crap everywhere in Georgia.
There's crazy-ass prepper who has their underground bunker completely full now.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, so this came out of a 53-foot trailer that was stolen.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Yes. Let's see, between July 25th and August 1st. And the driver reported this theft, saying he had left the tractor trailer loaded with all this in Fayette County, Georgia, for about a week. And when he returned, it was gone.
Ooh, that's not good. That's also a very good way of getting fired.
Yep. Yeah. So wait, how long was he gone?
It says about a week.
Oh, dude, that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, you're leaving that much cheap food, like, out there for the taking for a whole week. Somebody is going to take it. I mean, there's just...
Well, it was probably a drop and hook. And what they do is they drop the trailer because it can't be unloaded at the warehouse. And they hook up to another trailer. They do that run. And it could be like freaking California coast back to Georgia. Mm-hmm. And they do it in 5 days. And then maybe the warehouse or distribution center is ready for that. And then they take it and bring it. But if they don't have a secure yard, and even if they do, man, people break into containers and semis all the fucking time.
Oh, yes, they do.
Because the seals are super easy to get into. But you got to back that shit up against, like, a concrete wall.
Or
and
something.
Then drop it.
Yeah, but it seems like he left it at a Chevron.
He gas fucking station.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, that is totally your fault, dude.
Yeah. See.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah, they suspect that they stole about 300,000 packages of noodles.
That's a lot of noodles.
Yep.
Well,
yeah, it says the vehicle was parked with the property owner's permission, and the victim confirmed that the tractor trailer had not been towed.
Mm.
Other drivers, I saw the vehicle on July 29th, and they have no arrest yet.
Oh my god.
Mm. Okay, so he shouldn't have left it there for that long to begin with.
Yeah,
that's one thing, but I think that was just an opportunist crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, huh, this trailer has been there for a couple of days. Oh, is anybody here tonight? Nope. Okay, let's go see what's in there.
Maybe it'll be a bunch of Nintendo Switches. Oh, goddamn, it's a bunch of food. Hey, we'll take it to Swap-O-Rama.
Yep. We'll take it down to Georgia Tech, sell it to the students.
Yeah. But
got some hot noodles.
More wasteful.
You laugh, but college students pretty much live off that crap.
Totally.
All right. Next up, in New Zealand, there has been a shortage of avocados, which means people are now turning to crime.
Yep.
These two things should not be related, but apparently they are.
Dude, yeah, you tasted a good avocado?
Well, yeah.
It's worth killing over, trust me.
You know, if Saturday morning happens and there's no fucking avocado toast, people are going to lose their shit.
New Zealand is a big exporter of avocado, but also it is pretty popular locally. Yep. So I guess a bunch of orchards, people that run in the orchards, have had people just go by and steal them out of their orchards. I guess local prices have them at about $4 to $6 for each at their places. Like I said, I also had a poor season last year, so there's a shortage on top of that. Mm. Just pure production. But also having people just sell them on like a fruit black market.
Yep.
Wow.
That's, wow.
Yep. And I guess these stolen avocados are not exactly great. They're unripe. Some might still be sprayed with toxins to keep insects from destroying them. And so obviously people should not be buying them from places that seem overly cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unless they're going to vigorously clean them.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Don't really know what to add to that one.
I don't know that I've ever vigorously cleaned an avocado. I always wash them with soap and water before I cut the bitches open because I don't want to get, you know, people touch these things in stores.
Yep.
Man.
You know what people also do? They don't wash their hands after they go poop.
No.
I don't want that shit on my knife.
Yeah.
But vigorously.
Literally.
Yeah, right.
But, all right, so next story we got here. Over in Florida, Governor Rick Scott has declared a state of emergency because the Gulf Coast is being affected by an outbreak of toxic red algae.
Yeah, yep. Well.
Also known as the red tide.
Yep.
And, you know, by the way, yeah, so it's killing all the fish. Do you know what comes out of red tide? Anthrax.
Oh. Yeah, that's not good.
Yep. Yeah, so basically the beaches are obviously just empty. No people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For obvious reasons.
Well, I mean, you wouldn't want to be there anyway because the smell is enough to make you gag.
Yeah, because it's lots of dead fish and such. Yeah, so dead turtles, fish, manatees. They've had dead dolphins. Lots of bad stuff.
God, that is just sad.
Yeah, and so it's all over the Gulf of Mexico. Mm-hmm. I think Texas also has some problems on their coast. Let's see. The Florida Wildlife Research Institute says the number of dead and stranded sea turtles is nearly three times higher than average. And, not great for a lot of these populations of marine life.
Oh,
they know where it's coming from?
Yeah, I do.
I don't know.
Because that would be something good to be able to figure out.
Yeah.
See, red tide is a natural occurrence that happens due to the presence of nutrients in the water in an organism called the dinoflagellate.
Yeah.
Well, it's exasperated by, I believe it is...
what's that thing toxins that they say keeps happening that isn't happening?
Oh, yeah, climate change. Yeah, that thing.
Well, there's that, but it's also chemical pollution in the form of Monsanto sprayed toxins and shit on crops.
You mean like runoff?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Getting dumped into the ocean? It's possible. if you go back to the Old Testament to the Book of Exodus, remember one of the 10 plagues that God put on Egypt? One was the one where all of the water turned to what looked like blood, and that it was apparently toxic. Apparently, some have interpreted that this might have been what it was referring to, red tide.
Yeah.
And also, apparently, keep in mind, remember when there was the rain of frogs?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some interpreted that came about because of all the frogs that were in the Nile River dying because of the red tide.
Hmm.
So, something to think about.
Yeah.
But like I said, toxic red algae outbreaks like this have happened in nature for centuries.
This is exacerbated by human activity.
Oh, it is. It is. Hmm. I like to add that kind of that part on the end before all the doomsdayers start speaking up.
Yes, please. Yeah.
Because again, I mean, yeah, climate change is bad and everything, but human effort is working to, you know, to dull the you know, the effects.
Yeah.
You know, I hate people like that, you know, because I'm like, look, man, I get it. That shit can be bad. But all this stuff you're saying only happens if people do nothing. Mm-hmm. And you seem to not be realizing that.
Yeah.
It's not a freaking apocalyptic event. People will do something.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Next up. This is an AI we're talking about. There's an AI, it's being trained to do facial recognition. And how are they training it? They're using Where's Waldo, or Where's Wally, as they use in the UK.
Yeah, we don't.
Die. It's always Waldo. So much wrong with that.
Yeah, so there's some good video of it, sort of taking a picture of the whole page, seeing all of the faces, and sort of whittling it down to the ones that match what it's looking for with Waldo. And then has like a rubber hand attached to this thing, and it just points at it. The one it figures out, it's like takes 5 seconds.
Yeah. So they're not actually training it for facial recognition. They're training it to play Where's Waldo.
Yeah.
That's a much better use of an AI's time, personally.
Yep. Wonderful.
I like this. I got all of the Waldo training images from Google Image Search.
couldn't have shelled out the books for an actual Where's Waldo book, could we?
They have books for some of these video stuff, but yeah.
Well, this is a lot less scary than the Amazon recognition stuff, because they spelled that with a K for some reason, and people are freaking out about that.
Yeah.
I don't know why. So... Anyway.
By the way, fun fact, did you know that in the first edition of Where's Waldo, there was a topless woman in one of them?
No.
I didn't know that, but...
Okay, so you know how, like, over in Europe, you know, nude beaches and topless beaches are just, you know, a thing?
Yeah.
And so, you know, a lot of folks in Europe, they don't view toplessness as, like, the end of the world, unlike us Americans who think it's, like, the freaking... evil. Mm-hmm. Well, look at that. There you go.
Yep. That's a thing, all right.
Mm-hmm. And guess what happened when a certain soccer mom found it in one of her son's Waldo books?
Oh, my God. cartoon nudity.
Yeah.
Oh, she's a loser. No. It's not Waldo.
You failed. You failed at the essential task at hand.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, well, anyway. Next up, here's some really good news. Did you not like Zack Snyder's version of Watchmen, the movie that he made?
It was all right.
Yeah, I liked it.
I mean, yeah, it was okay, but, you know, it's not, you know, there's a lot going on in Watchmen. Some people have said that one of their biggest issues is that it was too much like the original Watchmen, almost to a fault, that it's completely predictable.
Yeah.
Also the fact that it's really hard to take something like Watchmen and put it down into like a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
there's like an extended cut of the Watchmen that's better, but still,
yeah,
this is the kind of thing that needs more room.
Yeah, well, HBO is going to do that because they've officially gotten rights to it, and they're going to be doing a series for 2019.
Yeah, we talked about it when it was rumored, they had mentioned that this is going to be a little bit different than what you're expecting.
Yeah,
so,
It's sort of alternate, an alternate history version of it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the original Watchmen was already an alternate history, but yeah.
And this is going to be like different from that a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The cast, they have some pretty good people in here: Regina King, Jeremy Irons, Don Johnson. Louis Gossett Jr., Tim Blake Nelson, a bunch of other people. Some good people on the cast. It's being helmed by Damon Lindelof of Lost fame.
Mm-hmm.
He's right next to executive producing it. Nicole Kessel will be directing the pilot, as well as executive producing it.
Mm. Sounds good.
Yeah. That's going to be good. I mean, HBO needs to do something once Game of Thrones wraps up. You know, they can't keep doing spin-offs.
Well, I mean, after that, aren't they? I mean, they've got other projects that from, isn't there supposed to be the Project Confederates that they're supposed to be doing at some point?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah, they got spin-offs of Game of Thrones in the works as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, at least one that I know of.
Yeah. Mm.
So get ready to have a whole HBO series and all the blue dingle-dongle you can stomach.
Yeah, they can go all in on that too.
Oh God, yes, they can.
Yeah,
just flopping all around.
Yep.
Yeah, HBO is going to be interesting to see how they evolve now that they're owned by
AT&T.
Yeah, because I believe there was some stuff talking about that, how AT&T wants them to be more about quantity than quality. Oh, you could also argue that. They haven't been about quality that much lately anyway.
Depends who you ask.
Yeah.
Hmm.
All right.
But yeah, that's going to be interesting to see how they, because they want them to become like a new Netflix. Sort of be all about their original stuff.
Yeah.
Original license stuff that, and be better with the service. Yeah. HBO Go.
Speaking of which, Netflix, would you mind like getting your movie licenses to something before 2003?
That'd be all right.
And not renew Adam Sandler's contract, please.
Yes, please, just tear it up in his face.
Hmm.
You know.
So yeah.
All right. Well, next up, our penultimate story of the night: the ongoing battle between Disney and James Gunn continues. Disney has stood firm, saying no, they are not rehiring James Gunn.
Yeah, not a surprise.
Yeah,
I assume they might bring him back at some point, maybe a couple years, but. Not
too soon.
Anytime soon.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, well, Guardians 3 obviously is not going to be finished off by him, so
it's going to
be a little bit of a weird movie.
Yeah. They're going to use his script, but it's going to be directed by someone else.
Yeah.
Because John Batista told them, no, fuck you.
Dave Batista.
Yeah.
Dave Batista, yeah.
Yeah.
But I am glad people are standing up for him.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do understand Disney's position.
Yeah, well, I mean, what he said was kind of reprehensible. Joking about child pornography is probably not a great thing to be doing.
Yeah.
So
they already knew about that.
Yeah, I mean, they knew about all this stuff. I mean, remember, he's a Troma alumni, so that stuff's kind of like par for the course.
And he's grown as a person since then. He hasn't made any of those jokes anytime since then.
Nope.
Yeah.
So he's been as good as anybody could be about that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they got into a bad situation where people uncovered this stuff, and they had obviously
this Mike
Fox deal.
Bitch. God.
Yeah. Hmm. They had this Fox deal coming down, and I imagine that's probably a big part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wanting to not have anything be a potential wrench in the machine for this thing.
Yeah.
As they acquire all of the rest of the. The stuff out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is why you're seeing a lot of celebrities deleting their Twitter histories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which, I mean, for the record, you kind of should be doing that already.
Hmm.
Just FYI.
Yeah.
But yeah. So, and finally, our last story of the night, Amazon is considering buying all of the Landmark theaters.
Landmark, that this is kind of a big independent foreign film chain.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 50 in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And it's owned by Mark Cuban.
Yep.
So this would be a good way for them to get some of their original shows and movies out there
mm-hmm.
In actual theaters.
Yep.
That's actually brilliant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is.
Because if they want to be considered for Oscars, they have to be shown in theaters. So why not own the theaters you're going to show them in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, I'm expecting, yeah. like, as the film industry becomes more globalized and, like, you know, the overall audience for a film, films is no longer mostly aimed at just one part of the country, but, like, the whole world. Yeah. You're probably going to see stuff like this more often.
Yeah. I could see them doing things like having, like, maybe free showings for Prime members.
Mm-hmm.
They could be able to make deals with a lot of the smaller movies, like, hey, you know, sign a deal with us, we'll get you into these theaters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
As well as onto Amazon Prime Video.
Prime Video.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'll get a lot of promotion that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And to be fair, some of Amazon's movies are actually pretty damn good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, check them out.
And at least some of their series are pretty good, too. But...
Yeah, I'm actually pretty hopeful because they're the ones who are doing the Wheel of Time. So, I really hope they don't screw that one up.
Yeah.
But they have Rafe Judkins as showrunner, so, you know, can't be all bad.
Okay. All right. So, I do believe we got a show, folks.
We did.
Yes, we did. It was a good one.
And we didn't crash.
We didn't crash either. Not once. So it was good. So I consider that a success. How about you?
Yeah.
All right. So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you would like to get in touch with us, have something you want to have a question to ask, something you want us to read on the air, maybe your insane political conspiracy about how the Jews are keeping the knowledge that the world is flat from the people, something crazy like that. We probably won't read it on the air, but send it to me anyway because I could use a good laugh. You can contact us at letswinkenders@gmail.com. That's letswinkenders@gmail.com. You can get a link on it on the show notes. By the way, please don't send in your anti-Semitic conspiracy theories. I was just kidding about that. Please, my mail box is full enough as it is. But also, on top of iTunes, you can catch our little bit of recorded insanity on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org. Basically all the places that Arl chocolate like ours is made for your delicious ear tongues. That was a sentence I just said.
Yep.
Anyway, I have been your host for the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Felipe Pinalpo, Patrick Mifflin, Teresa Sammons, and Chris Logie, good night, sleep tight. November's coming, people.